Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
So you know what irritated me? I wrote this article this week about how we live in a movie, because we do, and it's like a kind of a Monty Python movie with Sheba, with the electricity, with all of this madness that is all around us, seals attacking bathers and stuff. And I say, imagine what it'd be like to live in New Zealand, where absolutely nothing happens. Nothing. I write the article on Tuesday. They publish it on Wednesday night. And literally an hour or two before, Jacinda Ardern resigns. Something happens in New Zealand. First time in years. Nothing's ever happened there. The most exciting thing was, I think, she rode to the hospital to give birth, as far as I understand. I think that was sort of the highlight of the news in New Zealand over the last couple of years. Either way, there is some big news now because their prime minister has resigned. Professor Jo Ansi van Wyk, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for the invitation. Happy New Year to you.
And to you as well. So finally, New Zealand is in the news. Something actually did happen there. And it is around the resignation of their Prime Minister. Now, she came in with such positivity and hope, and she was so relatable. But she seems now, when I watched some of the interviews, quite defeated.
Yes. One must understand that politics is a very tough game. She was very youthful, 37, when she was elected as prime minister. And of course, as she said, you know, I'm burned out. Mm. There's nothing left in the tank, so to speak. And that does not make her unique. In that sense, many political leaders, of course, are suffering from the same fate. But the difference is that she is willing to stand up and to say, I don't want to pretend that I am your leader. I can take you into election. I can go through with this year, the political calendar that lies ahead. She has the guts to say, I can't do it anymore. Many other leaders would either have their deputies come forward, taking a stronger role. But I think her legacy will show that besides the good work that she's done during the pandemic, New Zealand has been able to really have a very good track record. And by the way, that's been a distinguishing feature for states that have female leaders that seem to have coped better
with the pandemic. Yes, that is interesting. Yeah.
Yes, and that element of compassion, of
empathy,
the fact that she's empathy and the fact that she's been a mother, I think may have also given her that edge. And then, of course, there's that can-do attitude of Kiwis, as you may know. Mm. You know, when there's a problem, you tackle it and you solve it. And then the other thing is that her ability to cross the divides and enhance social cohesion in New Zealand when there was that attack at the Islamic Center.
Mm.
And that was also a very good symbolic gesture. But also, you know, we tend to say in New Zealand nothing happens, but every year when all the international indicators and indices come out, New Zealand is top. They are clean government, good government. And I mean, is that not the ideal?
No, of course, I'm being facetious when I say that. I'm just comparing it and making ourselves feel better about the chaos that we live in. That's really all I'm doing in that case. And you can't take that seriously. But yes, sorry, carry on.
Apologies to interrupt you, but no. It's interesting. She's the third female prime minister that New Zealand has.
Wow.
They had Jenny Shipley.
I wasn't aware.
Two, 3 decades ago, Helen Clark. Now, what was that? The early 2000s, thereabout, if I remember correctly. And now her. In fact, Jacinda Ardern was a junior working for Helen Clark. And I foresee that Jacinda Ardern will take on an international position. I think she wants to get married, settle down, see the kids go to school, have a family, sort of normal as it can be.
I think that's amazing, because I hope we haven't seen the last of her, because she really showed incredible leadership, maybe youthful and maybe sometimes naive, but I think that naivety and freshness is sometimes exactly what it is that we need. One of our, as I have a saying, standing down before falling down, if only more people would do that. And that's absolutely right. I mean, that is real leadership as well, isn't it?
Yes, and I think one of the reasons that pushed her a little bit over the edge has been the fact that this is a Labour government that she is. Now, typically, Labour governments are left. They want government to spend more money on social services, etc., and they promise that. And of course, even New Zealand, as good as it goes there, has been suffering from the pandemic and from the slow economic uptake after the pandemic. And I think that also, you know, you need to be able to appeal and to make promises that you can keep, and especially
right.
in a country like Professor, I'm actually,
the line is actually coming and going for some reason. We sort of, it's clear and then it just dips and we are unfortunately going to end the interview there. But thank you. That was such an interesting perspective that you have given us, and I really do appreciate that. That is Professor Jo Ansi van Wyk. She is a professor of international politics at the University of South Africa, bringing us a little bit more perspective about the resignation of the New Zealand Prime Minister.